Welcome, everybody, to the Football Focus Podcast. I am Assistant Sports Editor Kevin Pomeroy, joined, as always, by Sports Editor William Gagan. And we are back for our fourth edition, I believe, of this season. To break down some of the high school football action around the state, and most importantly, in Warwick, Cranston, and Johnston. We got seven games on the slate this week, and a couple others we want to talk about as well. But before we really get into that, there's kind of something going on around the state that could affect those games and a few of the others. What's happening?
Yeah, I guess mosquito concerns have caused a couple games already to be moved. Five games have been moved either earlier in the day, Friday, or to Saturday, and seven total games have been affected. So if you're looking to go out to a game this weekend, check the schedule and make sure it doesn't change before you head out there. Check it out on RIIL.org and get some bug spray, I guess, too. That might be some decent advice.
Yeah.
And then the other thing we want to talk about is how great we are at making predictions, because we were a perfect 6-0 last week, I believe.
6-0 last week, we nailed it. And the scores were pretty close on all of them. I think the Johnston one we were a little bit off on.
A little bit off.
But
yeah.
5 out of 6. Pretty good work,
not bad.
Thumbs up to us.
Yeah. All right, enough bragging about ourselves. Let's talk about our podcast game of the week. That is Barrington visiting Cranston East on Saturday at Cranston Stadium. That game has been moved to Saturday at 4:30 from 6 o'clock. So it's an interesting game in Division I. East is coming off a big victory over Tolman. Got off to the 1-0 start they were hoping to get off to. And Barrington beat Cranston West last week. So this is two 1-0 teams and two teams that are kind of in that mix for the playoff hunt.
Yeah, still early, but I think everybody now is taking notice of Cranston East. You know, they're third in the Rhode Island Sports Media Poll. They got a first-place vote, as they have been all year. But, you know, they're moving up. Now they're in third. They get a big win over Tolman, a win in which they looked really, really good on both sides of the ball during big times during that game. And so I think everyone knows that Cranston East is kind of for real. They're a team that could really make some noise. And everybody knew Barrington was going to be that sort of team coming into the season. They didn't do anything to discredit that with their win over West in week one. They won 14-0 there. And now we get to see which team is a little bit better at this point in the season.
Yeah, an important chance for both teams to get a leg up. Whoever wins this game is going to be a pretty solid third team in the poll. Kind of the third team in the standings at this point. You saw Cranston East against Tolman. What impressed you most about the Bolts?
I think they're complete. I mean, I said they showed some good things on offense, good things on defense. I think if they play as well as they can play, I think they can beat anybody. And I saw, you know, I know how good LaSalle is, I know how good Hendrickson's been this year. I think East can play with anybody if they put it all together. Their skill players, like we've talked about, you know, ad nauseum on this podcast, are great with E.J. Ison, Marquis Monroe, and Marvin Beauvais. Other guys like Tyler Sulo and Nick Ferry stepped up during that game. There's just so many guys that contribute. They have so much depth. They have a full offensive line and a full defensive line, basically. Mm-hmm. Almost no crossover there. Guys stay fresh that way. I just think there's so much talent there that once they put it all together perfectly, they're really, really, really going to be a force. They were up 14-0 in that game against Tolman that they eventually won 21-13. And I think they kind of get a little complacent, and that's why the score ended up being as close as it was. It could have been bigger than that. They could have won that game easier. And as it was still a, you know, big win against a good team. So just a lot of things to be impressed with so far with Cranston East.
They seem like a team that plays – they're playing pretty good solid football, and then they have the playmakers to put them over the top. You know, we're not blowing smoke when we talk about how good these guys are.
Yeah.
I think Monroe and E.J. Ison and Beauvais – I mean, anyone this side of Josh Morris and Anthony Francis from LaSalle, I mean, they may be the best, three of the best players in the state. Mm-hmm. So when those guys are making plays and giving East a chance, it vaults them from being a solid team into, like, a real contender. And I think we'll see this week, you know, how much they can do against another pretty good team at Barrington.
Yeah, I think Tolman was a good team that they faced. You know, I think that's a team that's going to be fighting for one of those four playoff spots. They have skilled players up and down that can actually rival East a little bit and LaSalle, like you just mentioned. And so East gets that win. Barrington's going to introduce a little bit of a different dynamic. They rely, you know, heavily on their quarterback, who we've mentioned a lot here, Jacob Simons, their running back James Murphy. Those two guys each scored last week against West, and they're really the focal points of that offense, as opposed to Tolman, who spread it around a lot. But if East can win this one, I don't think there's any question that, you know, they are now one of those elite teams out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Barrington, I think, will throw the ball around a little bit more than anyone East has seen. So yeah, that's going to be interesting to see what East can do to stop that. Their secondary is has a lot of those skill guys, so it's a pretty good unit. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think it'll be an interesting game. And again, that is Saturday at 4:30. Our prediction in that one, we will take East 20-14 over Barrington. Let's move on to a big Warwick game. We've got Vets traveling up to Woonsocket on Saturday at 1:30. And Vets is really as good a position as they've been in for a long time at this point in the season.
A couple wins under their belt. A really good win last week against Tollgate, in which I thought they looked really good on both sides of the ball. Ran the ball well through when they had to, and that defense looked tenacious. I mean, they only gave up 6 points after they screwed up a punt. And Tollgate had really, really good field position. One broken play, boom, that's a touchdown. But other than that, they played great the whole game. That's defense. So I think they're confident with what they're doing, you know, all over the field right now. Now they're taking on a Woonsocket team that we hailed last week.
Yes.
Talked about how, you know, improved they were and how they had surprised us in some of their early season performances. But that same Woonsocket team then got blown out by Johnston. So it's hard to know at this point what to make of Woonsocket. Are they the team that beat East Providence, you know, a Division I team? Or the team that got crushed by Johnston. Now, in Woonsocket's defense, Johnston's been crushing everyone so far in the season, so maybe Johnston is just that good. But yeah. It's a tricky game for Vets to evaluate because, you know, if you look at last week, you would think Vets might be a little bit better than Woonsocket. If you look at, you know, everything as a whole and the whole body of work, maybe they're a little more even. So an interesting game for Vets to really see where they stand in Division II right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Vets was a superior team to Tollgate at this point in the season, so they took care of business. Now they play a team that... like we said, might be a little bit better. Might be that team that upset East Providence. So it's going to be, like you said, interesting to see what happens. The question for Vets now is: have they turned the corner? Is this it?
Right now, you'd have to say yeah. I mean, at the very least, they believe they're good and they think they're good, and they have the pieces in place a little bit more so than they have in the years past. And I talked to a couple of the players after the game, and they were both adamant saying that. You know, they felt sort of like a brotherhood last year. You know, they felt like they were together as a team. They just didn't have the pieces. Mm. And finally, everything kind of clicked a little bit on Thanksgiving. They beat Pilgrim. They carried that into this year. They have a few new pieces and another year of experience under their belt. So they still have that camaraderie, that brotherhood feeling, that belief. They have each other's back. And I think they feel like they have a little bit more talent. And it's hard to argue with that with what's happened on the field so far. So you combine those two things together. You get the results you have right now. And you also get confidence, a group that likes playing with each other. And right now, a group that's 2-0 and has a chance this week, a legitimate chance, to go 2-0 in the division and get a real, real head start on a playoff spot.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest difference for Vets, one of the biggest differences, is Jesse Sidoma kind of has his feet under him at quarterback, where he was kind of thrown into the fire these last couple years, but he's a junior now. He's been there before, and he's playing well. And you have TJ Boyajian, who's looking like one of the best running backs in the division at this point.
Yeah, he looks great. He looked great the other day. On Saturday when he was running the ball, he ran for over 150 yards on the ground, an 83-yard touchdown. And Sidoma really had control of the offense. They made a couple substitutions at times during that game. He was directing people where to go, where you have to line up. If there was something wrong on a play, he told the guy who came in what they had done wrong. He knows that offense now at this point, and I think that's made a huge difference. But defensively for them, I think they're up for a bigger challenge this week than were last week. I mean, Tollgate has some skill players. But overall, I think Woonsocket's going to present a little more of a challenge with some of their skill guys.
Yeah. We are going to take Vets in this one. We will go with the Hurricanes 20-16 over Woonsocket. All right, let's continue with another Division II game. We got Johnston hosting Mount Hope on Friday. And Johnston's playing pretty much as well as anybody in the division right now.
Yeah, they're killing everybody. They beat Woonsocket 43-6 last week. And those six they allowed were... garbage time points, you know, points in the last 2 minutes. So they basically just shut out everybody and put up a ton of points on everybody, both in their injury fund and their two games so far. I mean, they've just been completely dominant, the most dominant team really in the state compared to their competition, but certainly the most dominant team in Division II right now. And based on what we've seen and the talent we know they have, there's no real reason to predict they're going to slow down now against the Mount Hope team that might be a little bit down this year.
Yeah, this is a chance for Johnston to pick up a win that it should get and just continue to get the train rolling. They had 424 rushing yards last week, against a Woonsocket team that, as we mentioned, was doing pretty well. And Brendan Pappas led the way with 138 yards. But a lot of guys get in on the action for Johnston. So they are a really tough attack to stop at this point. And, I mean, the other thing that stands out for them is their defense. That touchdown was the first points they had allowed the whole season.
Yeah, and I don't think Mount Hope is necessarily an offensive juggernaut either. Playing a good Westerly team last week, they lost 30-7. And Westerly does look good, like I just said. I mean, they're probably one of the better teams in Division II, but haven't been as dominant as Johnston. Maybe the only team that's been comparable to Johnston in their dominance in Division II right now. So you look at that 30-7 score that Mount Hope and Westerly had. That might be sort of an indication of the type of game we'll have with Johnston and Mount Hope.
Yeah, definitely. And Westerly right now is ranked one spot ahead of Johnston in the poll. They're the top D2 team in sixth, Johnston right behind them in seventh. And those teams are both in Division 2A. They are not going to play each other, interestingly, till November 2nd. So that's the last league game in the year. So that's going to be interesting to watch what happens in that one. And our prediction for this one, Johnston versus Mount Hope, we will take the Panthers 36-12. Let's talk about Cranston West. They are home on Friday night at Cranston Stadium hosting Portsmouth. And that is a game where two teams who are trying to regroup a little bit after last week.
And you don't want to fall to 0-2 in Division 1. I mean, there's only nine teams and four make the playoffs. I mean, 0-2, you're behind the eight ball right off the bat. And West lost 14-0 to Barrington, like we already talked about. Portsmouth played LaSalle, hung with them in the early going, and then gave up four second-quarter touchdowns and lost 42-25. Which is understandable. It happens to a lot of teams when they play LaSalle. So, you know, both teams reeling a little bit. I don't think both teams are going to be, you know, terribly mortified with their performances last week. I mean, West only gave up 14 points to a pretty good Barrington team.
Yeah.
Portsmouth hung in there against LaSalle for a little while, scored 25 points. So I think there's positives to take away from both sides. But at the same time, they put themselves in pretty close to a must-win situation if they want to get into this playoff hunt.
That we didn't cover that West game against Barrington, but 14-0, like you said, is, you know, that's not a bad score. And we had talked about West's defense being a key for them, and I think they played pretty well. But they're going to face another challenge this week because Portsmouth, though they lost LaSalle, a lot of people think of them as maybe the second best team in Division I. They have Austin Sapaniak, who's a two-time All-Stater at this point at running back, really one of the best players in the state. So they're a tough offense to stop, and I think they know that this could be a big year for them to contend, so they're going to really look at this game as one they have to win. So West is going to have to respond to that challenge if they want to hang with Portsmouth.
I mean, the bottom line is West has to do better on offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, their defense has done well enough. They've given up 20 points in two games. You know, they only gave up six to Cumberland. But offensively, they really haven't produced much. I mean, they scored 12 in that Cumberland game. They got shut out by Barrington. A lot of newcomers, like we mentioned, Jeremy King, quarterback. Joe Ciroldi has a little experience in the backfield there, but a lot of guys that are kind of new to the fold. And it's tough because you don't have that much time to get acclimated. All of a sudden, you're into your D1 schedule. It's not like you're playing the NFL and you have four preseason games and training camp and whatever else. You have a little bit of time, one non-league game, and all of a sudden you're out there. So they're thrown into the fire a little bit, but that's just the way it is. So they have no choice if they want to contend but to get better. And it's not easy to do it against Portsmouth, but it's almost now or never. They got to kind of get that thing rolling a little bit, and you hope with a couple games of actual experience under their belt that things start to click and become a little more natural for them, and they can put some points on the board this week.
Yeah. West will definitely be trying to spring the upset the way kind of this shapes up, but we will take Portsmouth in this one 23-13. Sticking with Division One, let's talk about Hendricken. The Hawks are facing East Providence at Pierce Field on Friday night. And Hendricken, after their big win over St. Ray's, struggled a little bit with South Kingstown last week, scoreless game at halftime, but then they turned it on and ended up winning 24-0. So the Hawks, kind of where do they stand right now as you look at their D1 slate?
I think it just took them a little while to get going last week. I mean, playing a better opponent than St. Ray's, or a team that's comparable at least to St. Ray's, you know, scoreless in the first half, 0-0 at halftime. And then I think they opened up a little bit. They started throwing. They had a little more confidence. They, you know, they gained a little bit of that playing time, but comfortable playing on Friday night under the lights. And, and they scored 24 points, and their defense remained consistent like it's been, you know, so far through two games. So I think that second half is a real good indicator of where this team might be going, you know, that they got a little more comfortable in their own skin and really took care of business. Going up against an East Providence team that's probably pretty comparable to South Kingstown skill-wise. I think they'll have a sort of a similar game plan offensively. Defensively, obviously, everything changes because you're going against East Providence's option offense, which can always be difficult to stop.
Yeah. The schedule seems to be helping Hendricken out a little bit early in the season because South Kingstown was maybe a little bit down this year, and East Providence kind of a powerhouse, you know, pretty much always.
Yeah.
And it's shaping up that they may be down a little bit this year. So Hendricken has a pretty good shot here to get out to a 2-0 start. I think the key for them is just keeping that defense steady, because as long as that defense plays as well as it can, then they don't have to score a lot of points to win, and they don't have to rely on their young players to have big games. They can just kind of manage the game and put a few points on the board, and their defense can take over, I get the feeling.
Yeah, but this is a different challenge this week.
It's true. That's true.
You know, playing the option is not like playing any other type of thing. It's all about sticking to your assignments. I mean, if one person is a little bit off and decides that they should take quarterback instead of taking fullback, all of a sudden you have a guy going untouched to the end zone. I mean, it's that close. I mean, you can just be a little bit off and all of a sudden you break a big play. So whether the defense can adjust will be a big key this week too, going against a completely different opponent. And that's really what it's all about when you're playing teams that are good in mm-hmm. Division One. I mean, you have to adjust and do things differently on a week-to-week basis. So if the relatively young defense can handle that and can do that, then, you know, Hendricken really shouldn't have a problem.
And we will take the Hawks in this one, 30-14 over East Providence. Let's talk about Pilgrim. The Patriots are coming off a rough game against Shea. They will visit North Kingstown on Saturday at 1 o'clock. And like we wrote about in the Beacon today, it's kind of a good chance for Pilgrim to shake everything off, go play a team they haven't played in maybe forever, and possibly try to get things back on track, because it has been a really rough go of it so far.
Yeah, two games, and it just has not been good. They lost to Smithfield. They got shut out by Shea. I mean, they lost 35-0 to Shea in basically half.
Yes.
I mean, the game got called at the beginning of the second half because of some problems with the field. And, you know, they were already down 35-0. I mean, it's not like they were going to come back. And if anything, most likely, would have gotten worse. So it just hasn't been very good for Pilgrim so far. It's been a struggle, and they knew it was going to be. A lot of new guys in there, a lot of sophomores in there. I mean, just basically no returning starters except for one kid.
Yeah.
So they knew it was going to be tough, but I don't think they expected this. I mean, you were there. You talked to their coach, Tom O'Connor. What did you see? Is there hope? Is there reason to hope going forward?
Well, I think there are two things to hope for. One is that a lot of the problems they had against Shea, they just looked like they were overwhelmed. They looked like deer in headlights. They weren't lining up right. They're getting 12 men on the field penalties. So they were doing a lot of those little things wrong. If you clean that stuff up, then you at least give yourself a chance. And I think they can do that. And I think they can do that pretty quickly. The other thing is that Shea was a particularly tough matchup for Pilgrim, because pretty big up front and really good skill players. And Pilgrim doesn't have the skill players to match that. So Shea had the potential to run over them and just kind of did. Pilgrim, I think, if it cleans everything up, can kind of hang with a team like North Kingstown, some of these other teams in the division. And I think that is what you kind of hang your hat on at this point, because there isn't a ton of reason for optimism, but there's hope that you can hang in there and get better and, you know, maybe make some strides as this thing goes on.
Plus, they don't necessarily know exactly what to expect with NK. Could match up a little bit better. We know NK mm-hmm. likes to throw the ball traditionally. They have in the past. A couple of passing touchdowns already this year. So, you know, maybe that's something that can help Pilgrim a little bit. NK takes to the air, and Pilgrim relies on secondary a little more than it's had to in the past, and that turns out to be a strength. You know, hard to know yet.
Yep. And at this point, I think it's a little tough for us to pick Pilgrim, because they just haven't shown that they're capable of really putting it all together yet. So we'll take North Kingstown 27-12 in that one. And our last game to talk about, we've got Tollgate visiting Coventry. This is one of those games that got moved. It's Friday at 4 o'clock now. Tollgate and Coventry are both 0-2 at this point, so they will both be looking to get into the win column at this point.
They've both struggled too big yeah. time, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Rick Coventry's only scored 6 points, I believe.
Yeah, six points total.
And Tollgate really hasn't been much better. So, you know, it might be a little bit of a defensive battle. Might be a battle of figuring out which offense can kind of get it together. Both offenses are going to keep it on the ground a lot. Tollgate, you know, threw it only a handful of times last week against Vets with very limited success. You know, they want to run Jose Javier. They want to run Aaron Travers. They want to run some of those guys and try and open up the defense a little bit. Whereas Coventry wants to run Striker Blue.
Yep.
That's what they did last year. He was touching the ball 25 times a game last year. So they want to be doing that. They have an experience back. He's an explosive player. You know, his brother plays at Hendricken. So, you know, maybe Coventry's a little bit farther ahead offensively just based on the fact that they have some guys returning, including their best offensive player. But neither team at this point in the season is doing all that much on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and based on results, the good thing for Tolgate is this is the worst team they've played. Mm-hmm. And they played Cranston East, who's been really good in Division One. They played Vets, who's 2-0. So this is a chance to kind of open things up a little bit. You saw Tolgate last week. What are their reasons for optimism?
Well, they looked good to start the game. I mean, they ran an end around on the first drive, got a first down, drove deep into Vets territory. And then when that drive halted, I think they lost some confidence there. Towards the end of the game, when they drove the ball deep into Vets territory again, they finally got a touchdown on the board. And I think they were feeling good about themselves in that regard. It's just having that sort of consistency. They saw that they could do it a couple times. But much like Pilgrim, they had some stupid penalties, not lining up correctly, fumbling the ball. And then I think their intensity was a little bit down. Maybe it was because they were playing a 1 o'clock game on Saturday. The crowd wasn't huge. Maybe it's because Vets was really, really fired up, and that is a little bit intimidating. I'm not sure, but they didn't have a ton of intensity. And once they didn't score on that first drive, I don't want to say they hung their heads, but they were a little bit down. And so I think that's a key. If they can keep that intensity up and see that they can't do it, because they've shown that they can at times during the season, I think they can probably put things together a little bit more. But it's just a matter of keeping the intensity up, keeping focused, and running the offense the way they know how.
And they should have a little bit of confidence because they beat Coventry last year in a non-league game. So maybe that helps. Maybe that gets them going. We are, much like the Pilgrim pick, we can't quite pick Tolgate yet. We're going to take Coventry 13-7 in that one. Let's talk about one other interesting game around the state. We've got St. Ray's taking on West Warwick in a battle of probably the best two teams in Division 2B.
Yeah, thus far. I mean, they have been. St. Ray's has the loss to Hendricken. But they're ranked 10th in the poll. West Warwick right behind them at 11th. They are the third and fourth ranked D2 teams after Westerly and Johnson, who we mentioned, and the top two Division 2B ranked teams. So, a battle for Division 2B supremacy right now. Give each of those teams a leg up, whoever wins in the race for the top seed in that division. And, you saw St. Ray's earlier this year, and they got blown out by Hendricken.
Yeah.
But you thought that game could have been significantly closer, and they still impressed you, right?
Yeah, that game didn't do anything to change my opinion of St. Ray's. They have Division I skill players, and it's just about putting it all together for them. West Warwick, I haven't seen yet, but they've been really impressive. Beat South Kingstown in their opener, and then won big over North Kingstown last week. So I think that'll be a really interesting matchup. And that one is Saturday, 1:30 over at West Warwick. All right, that's going to do it for us here on the Football Focus podcast, brought to you by Tommy's Pizza 2. We hope you join us next week as the football season hits high gear. Thanks.